Hello everyone, welcome to the round three roundup stream. Hope you're all doing well. Thanks everyone for joining me on this Sunday evening as usual. Bit of a frustrating week for myself personally. A few people I'm seeing in the chat had a few good scores, a few bad scores, some decent ones in between. Probably not a great week for me, but that's the beauty of Supercoach is that I'm already looking forward to next week. I'm ready to talk about this for the next kind of 45 minutes and then round three in the back of the mind. And I'm not going to be thinking about it again moving forward. But thanks so much to Ian, Raymond. What will you do? I don't know yet. Martin, Raymond. I'm sorry, I mentioned Raymond. Mark. Two Marks, actually. Wazza, Copper, Brad, Graham, Davey K. Thank you all for joining and everyone else as well who haven't called out yet. But Moz says, we love you, Martin. Oh, mate, I appreciate it. So, yeah, I guess I'll quickly maybe go through. I did a quick average of the Podmasters League, so all the podcasters' average score there was 1022. So that makes me think around a thousand is a pass score. So I think if you've cracked 1,000, I think you're fine. Even if you're a little bit below, like a 980 to 990, it's probably not too bad. Seen a couple. I think it was a Wazza in the chat. He got 1127. Really good. Graham says he got 1129 pre-updates, which is those are unbelievable scores this week. The highest I've seen is 1126. So I think, really good scores, 1,100 plus. 957, a couple of, really the most frustrating thing I think was that there was two sit starts that I just was umming and ahhing about. If I had gone the other way, I know it's hindsight, but we would have been like 80 points better off. All of a sudden I'm looking at like a 1040 and then I'm probably having a fine week. So, a couple of frustrating things there. Like Alamotti, for example, he was actually in my squad from like Tuesday until yesterday. I was just looking at a few people's teams and seeing Warbrick and then I think it was just the fact that it was the first game and I kind of wanted to have him play instead of waiting. Pretty silly reason. Put Warbrick in and obviously he didn't do very good. And Alamotti's killed it. Other one was Murata Niokore versus Preston. I thought both were going to get good minutes. I just went Niokore because I thought there was no Jackson Ford, no Josh Curran. I figured he'd be playing 80 minutes. Played 66, but just wasn't seeing a lot of ball. So he only scored like 37, whereas Preston did quite well, got a line break. I think he ended up on like 58. So there was a 20-point swing there, and then about a 60-point swing on the Alamotti one. So it's about 80 points that kind of lost out on. But everything else, I think, was stock standard. I think the majority of people, Captain Harry Grant, so that worked out well. He actually updated above Tom Trbojevic, so that worked out well, not looping. People like, Isaiah Katoa, for example, wasn't ideal to play him, but with the rumors with Adam Dewey, I played Isaiah Katoa in my starting lineup and then had Dewey as reserve. That meant I had to take the reserve off one of Preston or Niokore or Alamotti. Ideally, I wouldn't have done that, and they both ended up scoring like the same points anyway. But anyway, a few decisions that didn't work out, but that's fine. We move on. Still early in the season. Obviously, we're going to get our first hit of price rises coming in this week. So lots of big decisions as well still this week, given that there are going to be a couple of players like Penrith players who haven't changed yet in price. Reece Walsh is a big, big talking point, I think, as well, coming into this week. Definitely now with prices starting to change, we're going to get into that more exciting part. Chilpro says, Aman, you're in delete app zone. Not at all. Not at all. I've had one bad week, but I'm not deleting the app. Also, mate, if I delete the app, no more YouTube videos, so can't do that. a lot of questions I'm seeing about Reece Walsh. The whole Teddy to Walsh. If you did the Teddy to Walsh trade, it's obviously worked out this week with Teddy getting about 60. Walsh, I think, updated to 99. Very frustrating. So I didn't watch the game live, but I watched it back. And he was on like 20 at 70 minutes. And then in the last 10 minutes, the Dragons just decided to let the Broncos score about 22 points. And he comes in with a try assist and like a double. And ends up on 99, which is a bit frustrating. He's probably going to be traded. I'm probably going to be bringing him in this week. I think he's going to have a very low break even. Still a very good draw coming up. But look at the Broncos draw. Dolphins away is obviously, Dolphins have been very good. But that Tigers game in round five, like the Tigers have just been leaking points. Canberra's still good. Titans have been leaking a lot of points. Even Parramatta. The draw is really good. So I can see myself doing Teddy to Walsh next week. I think, the reason I didn't want to do it this week was just I kind of wanted to get another week of information. Like, if Reece Walsh had come out and I scored 25, I wouldn't be trading him in probably. But looked good, looked hungry for the ball, and obviously in the end got those points. Let's see, a few other people's scores. I think I saw a 1,200. Nick Glopp says he got 1,212. Now, that's true. That's amazing. Yeah, really, really big score if you've gotten 12-12. I'm seeing Juan Gui saying 11-55, Daniel Steer 11-16, 11-07 from Liam Croker. So there's a few 1100-plus scores, so that's pretty positive. And yeah, really big scores. Walsh is on zero at halftime. Yeah, look, that's kind of the risk with Walsh, is that he's not really a base stat player, but he really needs those attacking stats. But obviously, with the draw coming up, Broncos looking pretty good in terms of point scoring, you know, I'll bet that he's probably going to more likely to keep getting some, maybe hover around that 50-60, but he could even go better and still kind of get around 70-plus, because, you know, last week he's obviously been very, very good. Bring in Nico straight away. So, yeah, obviously that's going to be really dependent on team list and if he's named or not. We still don't really know. Trindle had another really good performance this week. With every good performance that Trindle makes, kind of makes me think that if there's any doubt with Nico, they would just keep delaying it, maybe until after the bye that they have in round six, because they've got a very good replacement there already in Trindle, so they don't need to risk Hines at all. So I think, yeah, it really depends on what team lists say. Yeah, just a bit meh overall. I mean, I'll quickly show my team view instead. That might make it a little bit easier. But, like, Welch, 25 points, I can see from James. Like, he played, like, 30-something minutes. I wonder how much of that was due to the heat. Apparently, it was very hot in the Gold Coast. It's been hot in Sydney this weekend as well. So, like, yeah, minutes weren't there for Welch. What do you play? 32 minutes, just not what I would have expected from him. So hopefully that gets back to a bit more normality next week. So, yeah, just not ideal, only getting 25 from him. You know, on the bench, I was never going to play Dury, but obviously he scored a try. Preston did very well. Again, that 50-50 I've already talked about. Reed Marnie, 53, was okay. But he did need to get a line break assist try assist to get 53. So, you know, only a base stat of about 33. Not great, but look, at least he was able to get those couple of attacking stats there. Hopgood, obviously, big talking point in terms of not going 100 again. Even his minutes were kind of a bit weird. He was not playing the full 80 minutes this week against the Sea Eagles. Just having a quick look, I'm pretty sure he got hooked fairly early in the first half, actually. And he's gotten 55 minutes, which is, you know, even with Madison back next week, I would have still thought Hopgood would be like 60, 65 minutes. So there was a few more minutes given to some of the bench players, like I think Makatoa. I don't think he had played any minutes the first 2 weeks, so he got some minutes. So yeah, 55 minutes for Hopgood, only 45 points. So I know a lot of people did captain him this week, so that could also be the reason for overall scores being a bit lower too. Fifita was a bit, you know, 49 points when he really didn't threaten. I mean, he threatened a couple of times, but really didn't do much. Murray, 61, so just pretty solid. Sam Walker, obviously a bit of a letdown, you know. I went to the game on Friday, the Roosters Rabbitohs game. I was just on the edge of my seat waiting for Sam Walker to put through Teddy for a try. It just never happened, but I was really hoping for something like that. Didn't quite work out. So only 24 from Walker, missed a couple of goals as well. So that, you know, some negative numbers there. Zay Katoa, like 27 points, and that included like a very late try assist, so that could have been even worse. Dewey didn't look 100%, if I'm being honest, watching that game. Like, you know, there was a bit of rumors about him coming into this week. He didn't look 100% to me. So I know I'm seeing a few people say Dewey sell from Tupro. Dewey doesn't feel like the biggest issue in my team. It could just be a blip. So yeah, I haven't had a thought about selling Dewey. Like 5-8 options as well, unless Munster's back next week. You know, I mean, Dillbags had another good game as well. Still got a couple of tough games as well, though. So, yeah, 5-8 options don't... I feel like the change in a 5-8 spot is not going to be as big of an upgrade as in comparison to, like, an upgrade somewhere else, maybe, potentially, in the team. Like, front row forward overall, I think, had a pretty weak week. I think Tarpany scored, like, low 50s. Apart from Payne Haas, like, he got 88, because I think he got, like, a couple of try assists. A couple of line break assists and offloads. Tohu Harris, I think, got like mid-50s. It just wasn't a big week for the front row forward. Even looking at the center wing, for example, like the big guns like Val Holmes, 57. Karaz, big trade in this week, 58. Which 58 was really good from Karaz, right? He basically got it all in base stats and tackle breaks. So, you know, 58 from him was really good. Warbrick is obviously just a massive disappointment. They're just not getting him the ball at all. Like, it'll go to Hughes, it'll go to Katoa, and then that's it. It doesn't get any further than that. Like, Katoa had another good game. A few negative stats, but I think he ended up with, like, 59. So Warbrick was obviously a big disappointment, with Alamotti sitting on 71. Oh, yeah, I've completely failed to mention Khan Pereira and his antics. 65 points on the bench, scoring a double against Melbourne. See, I'm pretty sure most people would have benched Kyle Pereira, but obviously very frustrating when you've got Warbrick sitting there doing nothing. And then Turbo obviously did very well at the beginning of the week, and Teddy was fine with 60. But obviously now Rooster's coming into a bye this week, so I do think there could be potential areas where I might look to make moves. You know, like maybe Sam Walker for Hines, if he's named, maybe funded by Teddy down to Walsh, for example. I'm not afraid to boost again in round four, to be honest. I think this is the time where we need to try to get our team sorted. Like, I can see Moz here saying, should we be selling Murray? Like, it hasn't really come into my head to sell Cam Murray because, like, 67 minutes was fine. The PPM obviously was a bit down. You know, the game got a bit... There was a period in the second half of that Roosters-Rabbitohs game where it was just, I think it was just a lot of drop balls, and it was a bit, little bit kind of all over the shop, a little bit messy. So I think if the game flowed a bit more, there'd be more... You know, the ball's in play more. There's probably more chance of Murray making tackles and stuff. I kind of just think, also think with Murray, like, kind of the reason I started with him is that he doesn't have that buy until all the way until round 13. I'm kind of happy just to sit with him there. It could be an option though if you are looking to make funds, you know, Murray down to one of those mid-rangers like Eli Katoa, he's looking pretty good. You know, you're going to free up a lot of money there. If that was about trying to get to Nico Hines, then yeah, potentially an option. We've got Dragons players as well who'll be playing their third game, like Terrell Sloan. I can see from Heatwave saying is Sloan potentially an option, maybe trading out Swali'i. I've never really been too big on Sloan, just with the base stats being pretty low. He's got about 53 from memory, which included a try. So again, yeah, needs to kind of get those base stats. Oh, sorry, needs to get those attacking stats. But yeah, maybe he's an option. But yeah, someone like selling Murray hasn't really kind of come into my head if I'm being honest. Gilbert 70. Yeah, so Gilbert is actually one of those few front row forwards who's had a pretty decent week. 70 points, I think he scored. Yep, 70 points. And I think pretty much all in base stats. Yeah, 38 tackles, so 36 plus 30 points in runs. So you're looking at 66 points in base stats there. So obviously very, very big outing from him. What was his minutes like? I'm quite interested to see what his minutes were. Because for me, like, he was always someone who's PPM-wise I never thought was that great. But, you know, 66 in base stats is obviously very strong. Just having a quick look at his minutes here, according to NRL.com, played 59 minutes. So 59 minutes with 66 in base stats is a very, very good PPM. So maybe he's an option as well that we look to if you are. Because, like, yeah, front row forward, I'm kind of looking at that Welch score thinking it was a bit of an anomaly. Like, Oichikamanu was okay. He scored 52. So I'm happy to keep running Oichikamanu maybe as the second front row forward. Welch, yeah, I would have rather more 55s and 60s out of him, not 25. It's going to be a bit frustrating as well because that's going to be in his three-round average for the longest. So that might just mean he's not going to go up in price as much as I thought. But I'm happy to hopefully just keep him there and, see if he's an option. And of course, Manly players will be changing in price this week too. So I'm seeing a few questions here about Ruben Garrick. So from Ian saying, Val Holmes to Garrick, Sam Walker to Hines, Latrell to Walsh. Now, I don't particularly like Latrell out because, if I'm being honest, I kind of look at this whole Teddy to Walsh situation in my team as potentially doing Teddy to Walsh to get those initial funds. Walsh will go up in price, but I think around that round 7-8 when the Broncos run kind of gets a little bit tougher, you can see that the Rabbitohs have a really good game, stretch of games. So actually, sorry, I take that back. Not quite the case. But Rabbitohs have got, from round 6, they've got Bulldogs, Dolphins, Penrith, Broncos, Melbourne. Obviously, that's not looking as easy as what it probably was maybe a few weeks ago. We're probably now looking at the Broncos as a little bit better of a team. Tigers in round 11. I'm just looking at Latrell thinking, like, the guy is going like 60s, not really doing much. Like, the goal kicking obviously helps him a lot, but like 66 points, he had the one try assist. But like, I'm looking at his runs, like, yeah, like he doesn't have base stats like Teddy, for example. But a couple of line break assists. Like, I just feel like he's nowhere near like fifth gear. Like, I feel like he's somewhat cruising, if I'm being honest. And I kind of just watching him live as well. Like, you know, it was a tough matchup. He had a few errors at the end of the game, if I'm not mistaken. He had about -6 in negative points. So like, we're basically saying he's averaging like mid-60s, and I really don't think he's looking amazing. Whereas Teddy, you know, got that one try assist, but, you know, it was kind of restricted in, I guess, what he did. A couple of times he went close to the line, but I'm thinking Latrell could be the one that I want to go for in the end if I go Teddy to Walsh, and then maybe go to Latrell instead of going back to Teddy, for example. So I think if you've got Latrell, like I think if I'm being honest, Latrell and Turbo do look like the two best fullbacks at this time in terms of the kind of premium fullbacks. So if I had that pairing, I'd be keen to just keep that, to be honest, and I think just stick with Latrell, because any given game, doesn't matter if it's a tough opposition, we know that he can go big. I kind of get it though from fun generation. Teddy feels obviously very easy because of the bye this week, and then obviously the Roosters' run of games is a little bit tougher with Parramatta. Although if I'm being honest, Parramatta do concede a lot of points to fullbacks. What is it? Will Kennedy scored a ton. Tom Trbojevic scored a ton. There's absolutely a world where Teddy will go big against Parramatta, because, and this is actually a stat that I've noticed even from previous years, is that the Parramatta Eels notoriously concede a lot of points to fullbacks. So I'm going to go back to 2022, position versus team, Parramatta, so they were third in terms of conceding points to fullbacks, which is obviously, for a good team like Parramatta, they still are able to concede points. I'm not sure about 2021, if that was also the case. No, they were 11th. But 2022, they did concede a lot of points to fullbacks, and we've seen already Kennedy and Turbo go 100+. So, you know, if you are someone who's looking to maybe hold on to Teddy, the game on the other side of that bye could be good, but I'm looking at it saying like the bye feels like an easy week to sell, so I think I will see myself doing Teddy to Walsh. Latrell though, I don't think I would be doing that personally. Anyway, a bit of a tangent there, but yeah, so Ruben Garrick, for example, is another alternative who I have thought about, you know, like going from Teddy down to him instead, because Garrick does have fullback eligibility. Ian mentioned Val to Garrick. Cowboys haven't quite hit their straps yet. You know, they've started games well, but then they kind of tend to fade. But I kind of think that this draw is just so good. I kind of think that with, like, Val didn't really do a lot, right? And he almost got 60. Kind of thinking that, you know, one or two more attacking stats, he's getting towards that 75, 80 a week. Like, Titans next week is great. Titans are so leaky in terms of conceding points. Bulldogs definitely can be a point scoring game. Dolphins, who knows, by then could be point scoring. Warriors away, I'll admit the Warriors, I think what I'll do with this chart is I think from and what you see in videos coming up, I think about round six, I'll probably start re-changing some of the color shadings. I think that's a good enough sample size to be like, okay, I think certain teams are actually more difficult than what I've shown here, I guess, from a color shading point of view. Warriors is already a team I'm thinking like putting them as the brightest green based on last year. I think we can probably change that. They've been very impressive, I think, the first 3 weeks. Broncos as well could be slightly better. Melbourne, maybe you could argue, is a tier below now as well. Dolphins could be a little bit higher. Tigers can firmly stay, I think, as the bright green. They're not looking good. So I think there will be a change in some of those color shadings, because the Warriors do look much better. Dylan saying Val's on his radar to drop as well. I don't hate it, because he has been a bit underwhelming and the Cowboys haven't started as hot as what we thought. But I just think he doesn't feel like my biggest fire. That's kind of what I'm thinking, right? Like, I always try to think about fixing the biggest problem in my team, and Val just doesn't quite feel like the biggest problem. Maybe I need to readjust my thinking. But to me, I look at Teddy with a bye, Sam Walker with a bye, and if I can see Nico Hines back against the Dragons, I believe, next week, and then Rhys Walsh with a good matchup, low break even, those just feel like much easier trades to do. Yeah, so TK saying Latrell is a sell only if he's injured. Steve saying Trell Turbo is the end fullback too. Yeah, I think I agree. I think if you're a Latrell owner, I don't think, even though Walsh is tempting, don't think he'd be someone I'd be moving on, because I'm just looking at him thinking the guys are scoring points effortlessly. That's the kind of player you want to have in Supercoach. Ian saying, would you do Latrell to Walsh and then trade Latrell back round 6 or 7? I mean, that's an option, you know, if you want to kind of if you want to book in a couple of trades. But I still think, like I'm looking, who do the Rabbitohs play this week? It's Manly at home. Manly can, like, I mean, Parramatta scored 30 points against Manly. Melbourne aren't looking crash hot. And Latrell's a big game player. We've discussed this at the end of last season. The guy, he still scores well, even in tough games. Walsh is tempting, but, like, I think it is worthwhile to put into context as well. Like, and especially anyone who watched the whole game as a Walsh owner. He was on, what, 0 at halftime? And 20 with 10 minutes to go into the game? Like, it's not luck, because he put himself in the positions. But, like, yeah, it's quite fortunate that he ended up on 99 the way he did. So, like, he can maybe drop a couple of those. Like, you could maybe do that trade, Ian. But the next 2 weeks, there is a world where Walsh goes 25-25 and Latrell goes like 80-80. Like, it's not all that surprising. So, like, with Teddy, it feels easier because he's got the bye. Latrell doesn't quite feel so easy to be booking in those trades. And we know things can change so quickly. Like, Matt Dury, you know, I don't. We haven't heard any further information, I believe, on his injury, but that's potentially an ACL. He's not an immediate trade out because he's not going to change in price, but it's just someone again that you have to deal with. So trying to book in trades and plans at the beginning of the season, it feels a bit hard because we're still finding out a lot of new information as well. We want to try to capitalize on low break evens and stuff, which I guess informs why you want to go for Walsh. But I guess what I'm saying is that there's a lot of stuff we're still trying to find out, and things can change so quickly in the early parts of the week. Benny says, biggest problem in my team is me. That's the problem. Mate, Benny, I can 100% empathize with that. I was probably my own worst enemy this week, just overthinking a couple of reserve decisions. Like Alamotti, for example, like the Preston near core one, I'm kind of just like, whatever, it's 20 points. And they were like, I went to the level of like looking at their base PPM for the last 2 weeks, and I was like, their base PPM was literally like 0.02 different from each other. And so I just assumed near core is going to play the 80. So I thought I'll just go him safer. Didn't quite work out. It's the Alamotti one, which is I'm a little bit more annoyed about because he was in my team all the way until yesterday. I just changed it more towards the end because I was getting a bit of FOMO seeing Warbrick in everyone's teams. And yeah, obviously that could have, you know, I posted that GIF, is it GIF or GIF, whatever it is, you know, from Interstellar when Matthew McConaughey is looking at his future self and crying. That was me, my future self crying, watching me swap in Warbrick over Alamotti. Unbelievable. Is Ruben Cotter a sell? There's a couple of people asking that. That's from Alex, and that's from Heatwave Rugby League. Yeah, what did he score? About 40 points, I think it was. 42. So that, yeah, obviously that's not great. I think it was about low 50s last week. Just having a look at his minutes, sorry, so bear with me. Like, my first thought is no, maybe not a sell, because I think kind of just more the meat and potato style of player. He played 46 minutes. Now that is interesting because that is very low in comparison to I think the first 2 weeks. I wonder how much of the weather was a part in that because apparently it was very humid as well in up in Townsville. So I wonder if maybe bench forwards were getting a few extra minutes. Like, I'm looking at the bench here. Lukey actually came back, played 20 minutes. Tanui Brown 28, Griffin Neame 34, Jake Granville 26. Yeah, so the minutes are a bit lower for Cotter. I'm wondering if maybe they just used a bit more bench middles this week because of the potentially your weather. And I'm thinking maybe the same thing with Christian Welch as well. So just looking at Cotter his last 2 weeks. Yeah, so the week before 67 and then 56 last week. So 46 is the lowest minutes he's played this season. I would have expected around that mid 50s to like high 50s as minutes. And if that was the case, I would expect him to be averaging around 60. I'm kind of looking at this, maybe it's a one-off. So first poor game. Yeah. Maybe not an immediate sell. Alex says Cotter keeps passing. Yeah, so I wasn't able to watch all of this game. I watched bits and pieces, but maybe that's what you're seeing as well. You know, maybe he's ball playing a bit more, so he obviously doesn't get as many of those run points. But no, my first gut instinct just looking at that is I'm thinking maybe it's a one-off thing about minutes. That's why maybe the score is lower this week, but it could just come back straight away next week. Graham says, did Teddy to Garrick. That was, yeah, so that obviously worked out this week with Garrick going very well. Cotter also had a ton of negative plays this week. Yeah, let's have a quick look at that. Yeah, minus six in errors. So that's obviously going to hurt it a little bit. Like, if you take half those out, we're looking at 45 and 46 minutes, so about 1 PPM, which is kind of what he's actually done the past 2 weeks. Whereas PPMs were 0.94 and 0.93. So nothing too different apart from minutes. So I guess it doesn't scream immediate sell. Just having a look, just what was his break even? So his break even was 64. He scored 42. So he will go down a bit in price, but it's not going to be like crazy. He might go down to 600K. So I don't think it's like a case where he's going to go massively down in cash either. So it doesn't feel like an immediate sell. Sam Walker, a sell. Look, if Hines is back this week, I'd be very tempted to move on Sam Walker. Like, we knew that with the Roosters, we were buying them mainly for the first 2 weeks, and because that was when they had the Dolphins and the Warriors. Obviously, both of those teams performed better than what we thought so far this year. But Walker did well those few games. Now that he's got to buy Parramatta, a few tougher games, I'm still not totally convinced on the Roosters' attack. I mean, Waria Hargreaves coming back was a massive impact. Like, you could see it in the actual, in the stadium. Like, when he got subbed on, like, all the Roosters fans were obviously kind of cheering for him and stuff. And, like, it really had a big impact on the team. I think when him and Brandon Smith came back on around the same time, around with, I think there was about 15 minutes left in the first half, when they both came on, there was definitely a noticeable difference in the Roosters' performance. So maybe with Hargreaves back, Roosters' attack overall is a bit better. But with Hines coming back this week, and like if he comes back this week, I should say, with Dragons, it feels like a very easy week to move on from Sam Walker to Hines. Like, he's done a job for you. Low score this week, and that's going to be in his rolling average for the longest now as well. So there is a chance that he will start to go down in price. And I think you'll get an initial price rise out of him this week, because I believe his break-even was quite low. Let's have a look. What was it? It was 25. So actually, he's going to stay in price, because he basically scored about the same. So he's actually just going to hold value. But that will mean if he goes kind of, you know, sub 60 the next few weeks, he will start to go down in price. So it feels like, yeah, if Hines is back, feels an easy switch. If Hines isn't back, then obviously we need to have a think about options. Maybe you can just hold Walker, Adam Reynolds. Maybe he did this last year. Last year, Adam Reynolds had like a month, 6 weeks, where he was like on a tear, averaging like 90 plus. I wonder if this is the time now to capitalize. Had the ball on a string, honestly, that game. Like, he was so good with his kicking, goal kicking as well. So, you know, he's going to be able to accumulate points that way too. Held Smith. Yeah, so Moz is saying you held Brandon Smith. Yeah, so obviously, classic. Of course, the week everyone sells, he's going to score a try. Like, it was just written in the stars. But yeah, no, he looked much better this week. But I'm happy enough with the decision to sell. But if you've held, then fine. You've got an option now this week as well, where he's still obviously going to go down in price a bit. And you've got Sonny Luke potentially coming in this week that you can maybe look as a downgrade to. Is Trindle a sell? Sandy, it really just depends on Nico Hines, right? Like, if Hines is back this week, then I think you probably sell. Or you just keep him, because even if he goes back to the 14, he's probably still going to have a negative break even. So if he gets named in the 14 and plays like 10 minutes, he'll still go up in value. So you could just squeeze every penny out of him. But as soon as his scores kind of roll out and he's kind of looking at a higher break even and he's a bench interchange player, at that point, then yes, he's probably like an immediate sell. So it's probably not a must trade if Hines is back, but only if Trindle is named on the bench. If Trindle was out of the 17 altogether, then yeah, I'd probably sell, because halfback spot's pretty valuable, obviously, for point scoring. Just another thing on point scoring as well. I'm kind of starting, I know it's early season, so I don't want to get too reactionary, but I am thinking that with a buy every week, you are probably going to have to rely on a few more of those kind of cheaper center wings and random bench players more often than not. So you're going to probably have those weeks where I think you're going to get these 1100. Like, I feel like I'm kind of expecting 1100s, 1150s to be around the scores that we'll eventually get to, maybe the 1200s. But we're not going to get back to, say, like high 1250s, 1300s again, I think, because just having a buy every week, we're going to have to manage players and rely on kind of cheap centers and stuff more often than not. So I think if you look at a score of like a low 1,000 this week, I think when you put it into context, it's it's fine. And I can see Soothing Music saying as well with Captain Cleary, so we're going to get our Penrith players back next week, unless you sold Toto like me. But we'll get Taruva back, we'll get Cleary back. I believe they've got Parramatta at home. Parramatta away. But like, to be honest, I don't know when they're playing, but I think I'll be captaining Cleary if it's a late game in the week. Because coming off a bye, Parramatta conceding all these points. It's the first game. You could just captain Cleary, but that's a very easy VC at least, I think, against Parramatta. And then you've got who are Manly playing? Rabbitohs. I'm not sure if I can captain Turbo. If Hines is back, maybe you just captain Hines week one, although that's probably a little bit risky. It's a tough week, actually. Yeah, probably. You probably just either do VC Cleary, C Teddy, not Teddy, Turbo, or you just captain Cleary straight away. Yeah, you're probably just Captain Cleary, potentially, because actually, I don't know. I could easily Captain Grant again next week, just looking at it. VC Cleary, Captain Grant. I mean, the Tigers are awful, conceding so many points. Melbourne were really bad as well, but maybe if they get, if Munster is back next week, I could very easily see myself captaining Grant, because I think automatically they're like, and I've seen Jerome Hughes could be out for 1 to 2 weeks with the potential suspension. I thought Jonah Pezzett looked really good too. I think someone mentioned him earlier. He looked really quite good, so I think him and Munster as a combo might be fine. And you know, I think losing Hughes is obviously not great, but I think getting Munster back is huge. So if that happens, then yeah, I probably would likely do VC Cleary, Captain Grant again, because even if he doesn't get attacking stats, he's a safe 60-65. But a couple of attacking stats we saw, he obviously got 3 try assists, ended up on 100+. So obviously I was really happy with that. That was one decision that went well this week, was captaining Harry. Dave says, what did Dave say? Finally made one of the lights. Hope you've been well, Aman. Yep, thank you, David. Obviously, congrats to Josh. He looked very good. So yeah, Josh Schuster, obviously, potential talking point this week. So the base stats, I don't think were very good. He looked good to the eye though. So I think definitely scope to buy Schuster maybe ahead of schedule. 59 points. Oh geez, actually it's not a, so 8 points in tackles, one run. So he had a base, he had base of 9, which is not great. So 3 try assists obviously is very good. I don't see myself moving to Schuster, I think, next week, because he's not going to change in price. I would like to see if he had another week under his belt, maybe the base stats go up a little bit more. Because remember, if he goes 59, but let's say next week he doesn't do well, drops to 20, all of a sudden he's not the immediate buy, because he's probably not going to go up too much in price. So maybe if you need to downgrade someone in your second row forward, then yeah, he probably would be the one I'd go to, because now you've got all those other cheapy second row forwards like Preston and Cartwright and Dury have all gone up in price. So Schuster's probably then your best option, but doesn't feel like one that you need to go on straight away. I'd like to see that work rate up a little bit more, because he's not going to get 3 try assists every week. Unless, Dave, you can probably correct me if I'm wrong, but he's good, but I don't know if he's that good to get 3 try assists every week. Captain Walsh. Yeah, so that's right. A few people did Captain Walsh, didn't they? And who have they got again? I keep forgetting. Dolphins. What do we think how do we think the Dolphins are going to go next week? It's hard to say, right? Like, every week you've been able to come up with a reason. Round one, first game back in the NRL at Suncorp, absolutely hyped for it. Round two was first home game. Round three, first game on the road, but, you know, they're looking at a Knights team that had all these injuries. You know, they're easily saying, we can definitely go after these guys. I feel like Broncos would be a one step too far. I think the Broncos are playing too well. I actually did well in tipping this week. I think I went 7 of 8. Because I tipped Manly. I tipped Dolphins. That's right. Oh, God. Someone asked me actually earlier in the chat, what's my NRL team? So I'm a Roosters fan. I didn't tip the Roosters, though. I know you guys, some of you guys might hate me. I tipped the Rabbitohs because I thought the Rabbitohs generally would beat us. Obviously, I would have not liked that. But I thought with the Roosters being clunky, I thought the Rabbitohs had been really good to hang in on the last couple of games. I thought they were going to beat us this week. So I tipped with my head. So I tipped the Rabbitohs, but obviously if I went with my heart, I actually would have been 8 for 8. Oh no, sorry. No, I wouldn't have been 8 for 8 because I tipped the Cowboys. Sorry. So I went 6 for 8 on the tips this week because I tipped Manly, Dolphins, I tipped Rabbitohs. I tipped Storm as well. What am I thinking? 5 out of 8. I went 5 out of 8 on the tips. 5 out of 8. Because I tipped, so I basically, the ones that lost were the Rabbitohs, the Storm, and Cowboys. Those are the 3 games that I tipped incorrectly, but I tipped everything else. So I was happy with the Raiders tip, because I thought there was going to be at least one upset. Not the Warriors game though, but I thought the Raiders were going to win their first home game. So I'm happy I tipped the Raiders. But yeah, so not great on the tips. Although, I have to give a little quick story as well. So I don't really bet at all. Like, I don't punt at all. But I have a few friends who do. So the friend who I went with to the game on Friday, so he was like, $10, I'll put a bet on at your first time try scorer. Just tell me who you think will be first time try scorer. I'll put $10 on it. And if you lose, don't worry about it. If we win, you can take half the winnings." And so I was like, okay, I think Rabbitohs will score first. And then I was just picturing in my head. And then all of a sudden, I was just like, to him, I was just like, Kalamatangi. I was like, just put Kalamatangi first time try scorer. You know, bloody Cody or Latrell is going to put a short ball through to him, or Ilias will put a short ball. He's going to run over Kiri and score a try. And then little do I know, Kalamatangi goes and scores the first try. My mate was absolutely cheering. So, yeah. So, got a little, some winnings from that first time try scorer bet, which was nice. Not even any of my own money, but I took half the winnings. So, I'm happy with that. Anyway, enough of that. Enough of the stories. Let's get back to some of your questions. We'll probably stream for maybe another 10 or so minutes, and I think we'll wrap it up. I think let's just do straight Q&A, I think, instead of me rambling about first-time try scorers and stuff. Joey Manu to Garrick. You've got the cash. Yeah, I'd probably do that, Mark. I think, you know, with a buy this week, Garrick probably going to go up in price. I'd probably do Manu to Garrick. Is it worth trading Suoli'i? Yeah, I think so as well. Like, we've got a tough run of games. He's looked good in attack, but defensively he's been poor. So I think he's going to be like a mid-50s averaging player. Around his price tag, though, like, you can probably still go to Karaz. I think, like, Karaz got 58 this week in base power again. I think going to someone like Karaz could be a very easy move. Maybe if you've got the funds to get up to Garrick. If you've got duels, maybe to Walsh, for example. I think there's some options in the center wing that you can maybe look to go to. So, yeah, I think Suoli'i probably would be someone I'd be moving on. To keep Teddy or to trade Teddy from Martin? Yeah, I personally think I will be selling Tedesco this week. I think I'll be moving him on to Walsh, most likely. I think the fact that Walsh has gone 105 and 99, he's going to have a really low break-even, good draw still. Roosters with a bye. I think I'm going to make that move, and I think I'll reassess after about 3 weeks. Maybe if Walsh has peaked up in price, I might go back to Teddy, or I might even go to someone like Latrell, for example. So yeah, I'm definitely leaning towards selling Tedesco at this point. Because remember, he got 60 points. That did include a try assist, line break assist, which is that he did a nice little tap on pass. But yeah, so 40 points in base power, which is about right for Teddy. But I do get a bit deja vu, though, because we all thought about selling Tedesco last season, and a lot of us did it, myself included, and after that is when he went on a tear. I'm hoping that doesn't happen if we sell him this time. Walker out, back to Cleary, traded out this week. Yeah, Taryn, if you did Cleary to Walker, yes, I'd probably switch back, I think. John says, staying strong on Dewey and Fifita. I think so. Fifita, for me, feels okay. Like, he scored 50 this week, basically, without any major attacking stats. I think with Foran, I think overall, I do feel like they are using him more this year. It's probably kind of due to the fact that Fermor is out with that ACL, unfortunately, for the season. I do feel like Fifita is bringing a light upon a little bit more. So I think I'm liking what I'm seeing. Like, the Titans are gelling in attack. They're scoring points. They just their problem has always been defense. So I still think I like Fifita. Originally, I was also thinking about maybe selling him in round 5 when they've got the bye. But I think now with the emergence of, like, Preston, for example, he's like an easy swap in, I think, for Fifita when he's got the bye. So I don't even think you need to sell Fifita in his bye week, because I think you've got a very good replacement in Preston on the bench there. Is Dewey a sell? And just on the Dewey point, I don't know. Like, we always knew the Tigers weren't great, right? But Dewey was still seemed to always be good for Supercoach, even playing in a poor team. I kind of just think, I look at them like, can they get worse? Yeah, maybe. But I don't know. Like, it's also because it doesn't feel like a big standout 5'8". Now, if for example, you had duels and someone said, should I do Adam Dewey to Nico Hines this week? It looks tempting. I would sell Dewey for Cleary. Let's say if you're someone who sold Cleary this week and Dewey's the only way you get back to him via duels, I'd probably do it, because I would be scared of not owning Cleary this week coming off a bye against a very leaky Parramatta team. But apart from that, I don't really find it easy to sell Dewey to anyone. Because I do view Dewey as like a top 3, 5, 8 this year. Like Munster, Dillbags, and then probably Adam are going to be, I think, in my opinion, the top 3 averaging 5-8s. So, you know, he doesn't feel like an easy sell. Would I trade out Nanai? Yeah, I would. I think if you own Nanai, like, I know the draw is good, but like absolutely zero work rate out of him. I think that during the game he had made like 2 runs, like something ridiculous. Like, he's got no base stats to speak of, really. Where is he? 46 points. Sorry, I'll take that back. No base stats to speak of. He made 37 tackles. So he had 33 in tackles and he had 9 points in runs. So 40 base, which is actually higher than what I expect from Nanai normally. But no, I think at second row forward, there's a lot of good options there, right? You've got Eli Katoa, I think, is looking really good. Playing 80 minutes, his base stats are actually quite good. Even with Melbourne being poor, as a second row forward, it's kind of okay. So, you know, Nanai down to Eli Katoa, that gives you like 200-something K funds. You can use that for upgrades. Who else could there be that you can go from the second row forward? If you weren't able to get on Preston this week, I still think Preston could be a good buy in the coming week, because even being cheap, he still has like good base stats, like 50, 55 he scored this week. So even if you couldn't get him week one, I still think he's worth buying as well. Tohu Harris, as Isaac says, definitely Tohu Harris is an option as well. Minutes are a little bit down for Tohu this week, probably again due to weather, I'm going to guess, because it was very, very hot and humid apparently in Townsville. Really like what the Warriors are doing as well. They've been very, very impressive. Defensively, very solid. Looking pretty good in attack as well. Tohu played the full 80. Sorry, he did play the full 80. Tohu's obviously a very solid option. Dewey to Dillbags, round 5 or 6. Ooh, okay. So yeah, Dillbags has had 2 really good weeks now. And I think it's actually, he's had scores where he's probably not going to go down in price that much. So Parramatta got Penrith this week, then Roosters. And Dewey's got Melbourne and Broncos. Yeah, I think if you give it one more week and you see Dewey go down, like not a good performance again, then against the Broncos away, that is a tough matchup. He has had a good score against the Broncos historically, though. So round 5 could be an option. If I had to prefer one, though, it'd probably be round 6, just so you get deal bags for West Tigers. Round 6, I can definitely see myself buying deal bags and just holding him throughout that whole Origin period. So I tweeted it. Can't wait to own deal bags again. 3 weeks without him, and I miss him already. So I need to get him back soon. I'd probably say round 6, though, Ian, to answer your question. Adam Dewey to Ezra Mam. No, I wouldn't go to Ezra Mam. I liked Ezra Mam for people who were selling like Ponga and stuff, but I think Dewey to him is a downgrade, in my opinion. So no, I wouldn't be doing to Ezra Mam. Thoughts on a Welch to Haas trade? Yeah, it's probably a good option. If you've got those funds, Haas has been killing it. You know, I kind of did admittedly overlook him. I think I kind of let all that personal stuff around him over kind of cloud my decision making around him, because he looked really good. Like, he did get 2 offload line break assists, which did bump up his score, but he did get a bunch of points anyway from base stats as per usual. I'm just going to bring that up here. So what did he end up on? He ended up on 90, Jesus. So he had 19 plus 32. So yeah, he had 51 in base. So 51 in base with his tackle breaks is 55, plus his offloads is 63. So yeah, I mean, what you got is pretty much what you get from Payne Haas, right? Like mid-60s in base. But this time he actually had some attacking upside. But he's had a pretty good start to the year as well. I think he scored 88 in round 1 from memory. 79, sorry, and 65. So yeah, just going to be rock solid. So he is an option. If you're going front or forward, probably could be either him or Tohu. Tohu, the benefit is obviously that you'd have no origin to worry about. You can just lock in Tohu. Whereas with Payne Haas, he's obviously got, you know, he's eventually going to be a sell again. So I think you can kind of say, shorter term, yeah, maybe I prefer Payne Haas because he's got the better draw, so maybe some more attacking upside. Whereas Tohu's just going to be your rock solid, like lock him in for kind of the remainder of the year, essentially. But yeah, I guess in that 50-50, I'd probably go Payne Haas, I think. Just the attack, he looks like he's got that offload back, which is a really good sign. Okay, we'll go for a couple more minutes, guys, and then I think we'll wrap up slightly quicker stream. I have to actually do some work, unfortunately, before I go to bed. Is anyone using a boost this week? Yeah, I think that's for another question saying thoughts on using a second boost this week. I have zero issues, I think, using a boost again this week. Yeah, we're still very early in the season. I think we saw last season the players who actually boosted more at the beginning of the season were just able to set up their team better. And so I don't think there's any. Like, you can maybe save one boost for around the Origin period. But like I saved a boost, I think, for the post-Origin period. I feel like it really didn't help me that much. I think using boost at the beginning of the season to try to jump on all the cash cows and get those price rises and stuff, and being a bit more aggressive to help set up your team, I think is a pretty decent strategy. So there's a very good chance that like there is a chance that I boost this week. Like if I, let's say hypothetically, Nico Hines is named, he's got the Dragons, maybe a captaincy option. Teddy to Walsh, Sam Walker to Nico Hines. If I needed to boost to make extra funds, I'd probably do it. All right, thoughts on Guacamole? Hamoli, yeah, he's been pretty solid. I mean, well, actually, he scored two tries, didn't he? But he only scored like 60 points with two tries. I know one was an intercept. But yeah, the base stats just not really there, right? Like 14 points in runs, 11 points in tackles. So that's what, 25 in base. So yeah, like that's not great. He's looked good in attack, but yeah, that's obviously a bit of a concern that the base stats weren't that good. So, like, you know, if you were a Nanai seller, I don't know if I'd go to Oluquatu. I'd maybe go for a deal like Tohu, or maybe I'd go for like Carrigan, or maybe even a cheapie like Elikatoa. Like Elikatoa is probably going to give you about the same output as Oluquatu, but he's much cheaper. So, like, I really like Elikatoa. I think he's looked quite impressive. They're definitely using him a lot in attack, especially like Jerome Hughes just constantly looks for him. Players to avoid with buys. So I guess we'll have a quick look at the kind of draw coming up for the buys. So we've got pretty important teams actually from a Supercoach standpoint. We've got the Roosters, Titans, Sharks, and Tigers in the next 4 weeks for buys. So, you know, in terms of avoiding players, you could argue Nico Hines is an avoid because, you know, you've got 2 weeks and then he's got a buy. But I think Nico Hines is a bit different kettle of fish, where he's so good that he can score like 100 points easily. So he's someone who I still think I'd look to target. In terms of avoids, I think we've pretty much owned, we're kind of already owning a lot of players from those teams, so not we're necessarily avoiding anyone. And I think the popular players that people are looking at, like Manly, like Garrick and stuff, or Walsh, for example, none of them have got buys for a while now. So I feel like the buy is not really too much of a factor. Maybe Mel, but even with Melbourne, so their buys in round nine, but that's 5 weeks still that you could have of Elikatoa. Like, to me, that still feels okay. Yeah, someone mentioned Kalomatangi, of course. Yeah, Kalomatangi could be your second row forward to go to as well. Like, he had some attacking stats. He's had pretty solid base stats, I think, as well. Let me have a quick look at what he scored this week. Oh, 1 second. So he scored 20, 26 plus 19. What's that? 45? Yeah, I think 45. 45 is okay, but then yeah, he obviously got a lot of attacking stats, which he does have that in his game. Like Matt says, for example, thoughts on Nanai to Keon, Dearden to Nico. Yeah, that looks pretty nice, if I'm being honest. That looks pretty good. I mean, Nanai and Kalomatangi are similar players, but Kalomatangi does have a slightly better work rate. Heatwave says, you reckon that Hopgood will be a sell at his peak price? Only if I keep seeing 50, 55 minutes and scores a 50. If he gets back to 60, 65, because we saw the first two rounds how Supercoach friendly his game is. So, yeah, obviously very, very early to make a decision on that, but he doesn't feel like one who I'd be looking to sell. Even when it comes to peak price, he could just be a good like a keeper. Right, I think we might wrap it up there, guys. So we're going for about 50 minutes, which is kind of all I wanted to do for this week. So thanks everyone for tuning in for the roundup stream. Apologies if I couldn't get to your questions. Keep posting them on Twitter. We'll be back hopefully again on Tuesday for another video or live stream to preview round four. And potentially this week, I might be able to do a Thursday lockout stream. No promises, but we might be able to make it. But yeah, we'll see how we go. But thanks everyone for joining. Please do give the stream a like as well on the way out. It really does help me out. I appreciate you all for joining me on this Sunday evening. Have a good one. Don't rage trade. Sleep on it. Monday is a nice relaxing day away from Supercoach. And then we'll be back at it again on TLT Tuesday. All right, guys. Thanks so much. See you in the next one.